Welcome to the Full Press Wrestling Podcast in association with the Nightcap Recap. I'm your host and the voice of Full Press Hockey and now Wrestling, Jim Berenger. I'll be joined by my buddy Eleftherios Rapantes, a.k.a. Teddy. You'll be hearing all the audio from the Nightcap Recap Instagram Live page. You can find this podcast along with any other podcast from Full Press Coverage on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. I hope you enjoy.
Yo, what is going on, everybody? It is Wednesday night, and you know what that means. That means the Nightcap Recap is back. And as you saw from the post today, this is the only place to be. Because when the top guys talk, you listen, and then it's top guys out. Speaking of a top guy, my tag team partner for the Nightcap Recap. This is how we do it here. The top guys are in the house.
What's up, man? What's going on?
Yo, what up?
It's National Scissor Day. I had to come in hot with that.
Yo, National Scissor Day.
What's going on? I love that intro. Top guys are here. I love that new meme gif you made today. I love it.
Yo, top guys out.
Top guys out. The only spot to get your daily, weekly dose of AEW, all sports. This is it right here, man.
AEW, WWE, all of it, all the time. You know here, the Nightcap Recap.
We're live, baby.
Live all day. Yo, 3 years, dynamite, baby.
Yeah, man, I was just texting you guys today, man. I can't believe it's been 3 years. It feels like yesterday. I remember being excited for All Elite Wrestling started. I'm like, oh, man, we're going to have a new weekly show, watching that first episode of Dynamite. Man, I can't believe it's been 3 years. It's crazy. Time flies.
Dude, time flies when you have fun. I know a lot of people come on here when we're doing this, say it won't last a year. Well, it's 3 years, man. Yeah. Dynamite's still going.
People that said this thing wouldn't last 6 months, a year. I mean, that first year, I remember we were getting messages left and right nonstop saying, what are you guys doing this for? WWE owns everybody. This thing won't last. Here we are, year three, Tony Khan. You know, listen, we could say the honeymoon phase might have worn off, I think, at this point. You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, Tony can probably learn from that he's done the last couple of years with some recent incidents that's happened. What do we got over there? What is that?
Yo, I got this anniversary gift from my girlfriend, Amanda. Shout out CM Punk and John Cena, little figures.
That's so awesome.
I just had to bring them on. But as you said, the honeymoon phase is over.
Honeymoon phase is over. You know, now he's got to start building, try to get, you know, he knows what he's doing right, what he's doing wrong. One of the things he's doing wrong is get control of your guys on social media, backstage, altercations every single week. So that's one thing that we could get work on, some of the production kinks. But overall, it's great to have an alternative, and it's been a great 3 years.
Absolutely. It's been a great 3 years. Dynamite, it's been awesome, off the charts. Just, again, like you said, the big thing for me is I got an article, again, coming from Amanda, New York Post, that talking about what's going on backstage. You know, a lot of people talking about, they talk about tonight, we could bring it up, you know, about how, you know, matches just thrown together. People, you know, it doesn't make sense, this and that. But the backstage is, you know, you have Sammy getting in fights with Andrade. You had the Elite and CM Punk. But the thing for me is, and I think this is a bad look on a company, everybody calls me AEW Homer, but we critique it when it needs to be critiqued. I think coming off main event, him in the main event after what happened and Andrade only get punished after what happened on Twitter, and then apparently Sammy's the one that starts the fight. It's not a good look when he's the last guy standing there. I know he's supposed to be a pillar of the company, but so are the Elite, and the Elite got punished too.
Yeah, and like you said, he's a repeat offender. He's
getting
himself in hot water, dating back to like early on when he had that month suspension for comments he made. Who did he make the comments towards? I forgot. Somebody that was in WWE. I don't know if it was Paige or somebody. Oh, Sasha. That's about Sasha Banks, you know, and then the incident with Eddie Kingston. And now we got the incident with Andrade where it seems like I think he's favoring Sammy because I said, look, he's a pillar of the company. Andrade kind of seems like he's in that same boat where he doesn't know if he wants to be with the company. He doesn't like how he's booked. That's what we hear. We don't know if that's really true or not. But like you said, he's a repeat offender here. Why are these other guys getting punished and Sammy just gets away with this stuff?
Exactly. And then you think about it. Yeah. But another point is like we always said, they need a talent relations guy. You need to know what you have to say when you do PR. Like, it's right. All well and good, like MJF coming out all the time talking about 2024, but you can't have Andrade, you know, because apparently his match Friday was against 10 Mask versus Loser Leaves Town. I mean, I don't know what Andrade's contract situation is with AEW. I don't know what it was like. I don't know. But you can't have him out in interviews saying, oh, maybe I'll leave, maybe I won't. You got to know what to say in these interviews. You can't just be coming out and say, I want to leave.
Now that you mentioned PR, there was a sign tonight. Somebody was holding the sign that said, please hire a PR guy or something. I think I noticed that. But, yeah, I agree. Somebody who has a handle on social media, if you notice with the WWE wrestlers, a lot of them, you know, will stay in character on Twitter. They'll say things, but there's a way that they do it. You know, when you just guys have – you have guys running rampant saying, you know, mentioning the other company and talking about leaving, contracts are up, this and that, when it's really not true – you don't know, you know, what's true or not, if there's really a beef or something. And then it leads to altercations backstage. Apparently, this guy's gotten a punching brawl. This is becoming a common thing. You know, like, it's pretty crazy. And then you had – the best was Ricky Starks, but I think the tweet got taken down. He said, can my coworkers just shut the hell up for a couple of hours? I don't know if you noticed that. I don't know if you saw
it. Yeah, I did see Ricky Starks say something. I know Jericho's
– take that down. They made him delete that. I don't know why.
Yeah, no, I think Starks needs to be on TV more too. But yeah, that's neither here or there. But, you know, I think, you know, like you said, the honeymoon phase is over. AEW's moving along. They're moving in their next phase. You can't let this crap happen continuously, get bad PR. You hear about guys backstage fighting. You know, this three incidents now in 6 months where you got Eddie Kingston brawling with Sammy Guevara. You had the Elite All Out. You know, it takes away from what happens in the product because more people talk about backstage than what's going on. And tonight was a really good Dynamite.
It was. I agree with you. And they even said it last week. I think Excalibur said, you know, it's a new era of AEW, which is an interesting comment that he made. I heard somebody mention that, or I saw it on social media. And we still don't know what the outcome is going to be of this Omega, you know, the Elite CM Punk situation.
Well, we know CM Punk's at least gone for 9 months with his injury.
We'll know that, yeah. So I don't know what the final outcome is, but it seems like they're trying to move forward, put that in the past, and, you know, really focus on the in-ring and pushing of guys that have always deserved to get more segments on the show. You know, we'll talk about it tonight when we get into it. But, you know, more of the homegrown guys, you know, should be getting more of the pushes here. And, incidents like this cannot keep happening because all anybody will talk about is that as opposed to what you're putting out as the product, you know?
And the ratings have been good for them. You know, last week aside, I mean.
Right, the ratings have – I mean, I know the ratings did – initially when they first came on the scene were like 1.5 million or close to it.
Yeah.
But then they kind of steadied out and they've been staying at their million – between their 900K and million –
last week, I think they would have hit 5 straight if there wasn't a hurricane in Florida.
Right. They had their times when they kind of dipped a little bit. For the most part, the core audience has always been between that 850 to like 1.12 mil or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So, look, AEW, 3-year anniversary, it's been great. You know, again, the top guys, we're here, you know, all the time bringing it to you. So. Let's just get into the show. Starts off, again, he said it on social media. Started off the first episode of Dynamite, second anniversary. Now he's here. Third episode of Dynamite, your boy, MJF. He's like an unsweetened applesauce. You like it. It doesn't matter. You love him or you hate it. Doesn't matter. MJF, Wheeler Yuta, it was a good match.
Yeah, I like how they built up this little feud. You know, we had last week, they were in Philly, Yuta's hometown. They pretty much built the whole show up around that, you know, with MJF sitting up in the stands and Yuta. You know, they had their little verbal altercation in the ring in the beginning. Yuta challenged him to a match. You know, later on in the night, Yuta stands behind him and he sets up this match tonight. And what I loved about it was Regal on the commentary. If you really paid attention to what Regal and Taz were saying, Regal was making mention of the fact, like, hey, I used to be a heel in my day. I used to do some dastardly things. I really, you know, understand what MJF is doing here because I used to do it. But he's like, when you have a guy like Yuta, you're trying to break him into the Blackpool Combat Club. You need him to go against a guy like MJF, a heel like that, to see what, you know, what he's really all about. You know, because he's kind of seen as a goody-two-shoes nice guy, Wheeler Yuta. So when you go into a match and you show some fire against a guy like MJF, this was the perfect thing. The one spot I loved on this, I don't know if you saw this, that he kind of did a powerbomb into a backbreaker almost.
Yeah, that was sick.
That was innovative. I've never seen MJF pull that out before. I've never seen that move in general. You know, that was a crazy move. He kind of powerbombed him, but he put his leg out, and it was kind of a backbreaker onto his, like, neck. It was crazy.
That was a great spot. I mean, they had that great sequence with the counters, different counters.
Yep.
That was great.
On the indies, apparently, I don't know too much about it, but they've
7 years, I guess, they've wrestled against each other, so.
Yeah, so you could tell there was chemistry there between these two guys.
How about that splash by Wheeler Yuta?
Yeah. Dude, Wheeler's an underrated guy. I know he's been taking some big losses lately. He dropped, he dropped his ROH Pure title, right? I mean,
Garcia. Yeah, but Garcia needed that win.
Yeah, they built Yuta up now to where he could withstand some of these losses. You know, like, Garcia was the next guy to get to be put over, you know, after.
Right, exactly.
And you know, a guy like MJF, it's never going to be a bad thing if you're losing to MJF. So,
because MJF can't lose in this spot. He shouldn't lose until he drops the title.
Right, they painted themselves into a corner, but guess what? Give the company props for going through with it, because if this was WWE, they would have found some screw. I mean, old WWE, they would have found some screwy finish here to not make, you know, not let Yuta take the loss and MJF to get a DQ win. MJF won a match. This is what was supposed to happen.
But that's been the thing about this company. It's been wins and losses. Like, how many times outside of what? I think two occasions there's been a disqualification. Right.
There hasn't. Yeah, that's the crazy thing. 3 years of this company, you can probably count on one hand where they maybe had a screwy finish, like a DQ. It never happens.
But there's interference. Don't get me wrong. There's been, like, stupid interference all the time. But, like, DQ finish has not happened.
Does not happen. So this was a spot that MJF had to win. And some interesting things happened at the end of this thing that, you know, are they planting the seeds for something? I don't know. I don't know if they are yet, but maybe. You never know.
You know, I mean, the way this company works, they always like to plant seeds, and it takes time. And that's the one thing.
Yeah.
But you would have wanted MJF to shake, do the code of honor, shake his hand, all kind of thing. But then the firm came out. Lee Moriarty beat up Yuta. They wanted, you know, Stokely gave him the ring, but then Regal got up. You know, I put the brass knucks on. the knucks, and Mr.
But the best part about it was MJF yelling out. This was the key. He yelled out to Lee Moriarty,
I didn't tell you to do that.
I didn't tell you to do that. What are you doing? So I don't know if that was bullshit, because it's MJF, or were they really teasing something here, you know, and then Regal comes out, you know, MJF leaves, obviously. So are they planting little seeds? I don't expect any face turn anytime soon, but maybe these are little things that are going to say, okay, MJF, maybe slowly, you know, got a heart here for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been cool to, like, maybe, like, a quick handshake and then, like, walk out, like, a
slap on the hand. But the character, I couldn't see him shaking his hand there because of what he's done in the past.
No, even he's
5. Yeah, he could have done the quick, like, let me get out of here, but you never know.
No, but it was really good. Good opening match. It was fun. A lot of good stuff. And, you know, that's a way to kick off a Dynamite. You want fans to stay in. I mean, I know, like, over the last couple of weeks, like, the Grand Slam, the quarter hours was a steady line. Last week was up and down. But, you know, this is a way to kick things off, right? And the action continued with Darby and Jay Lethal. That was a fun match.
Yeah, and you talked about earlier some of these counters with these pins. These guys kind of did the same thing. I mean, back and forth, rolling around. We know what type of spots Darby's going to pull out. I thought this was an interesting two guys to wrestle here with their styles. You know, very, very solid match on both ends. And, you know, Darby gets the win after Lethal was distracted, right?
By his own guys,
right. And then Darby's like, you don't need them. You know, get out of there. You don't need those guys.
He wanted him to shake his hand. He did. He's all mad. He walked off to the back because he told Sanjay and Satnam to stay in the back because he could do it by himself.
Right. I like Jay Lethal being a part of the weekly proceedings. He's a good guy to have on these shows.
Yeah, Elizabeth, New Jersey guy. I mean, you got to give him a shout out.
That's it. That's why.
Dude, we've seen him wrestle on the indies plenty of times.
Yeah, it's been like over a decade now. It's crazy.
It's crazy, man. TNT title match. So, like, in the article referenced, like, all putting matches together with no build. I've seen a lot of it this week. Again, I'll go find my Twitter post. I'll put it in my Instagram story, whatever. Enjoy wrestling. Who
right.
cares?
Right.
It doesn't have to make sense.
Right.
It doesn't need to make sense. Wardlow versus Brian Cage, I'll take it. Yeah, there's no build. Okay, you know, Austin was like, oh, well, don't want to have a big-time main event, no build. I understand that part, too. But the spontaneity of this match was really good.
I was going to say, listen, Brian Cage has not been around for a while. In the early days of AEW, he was a big part of what they were putting out there, presentation-wise. You know, Team Taz and all that. You know, he's got the history with ROH. He was with the embassy in this one. This was just two big dudes. Like, if you're telling me when you were dream booking some matches in AEW, we're looking at the roster, like, in the beginning, Wardlow versus Brian Cage was definitely a match that I'd be like, I want to see these two guys go at it. Two huge dudes, similar size, similar build. Wardlow's just been on fire. You know, can he do the powerbomb symphony to a guy like Brian Cage? And sometimes you just get two big dudes in there wrestling, as Big E used to say, two meaty – what do you say?
Two meaty dudes.
Just slapping meat. Yeah. Yo, this was a really good match. You didn't need all the buildup for this one. This was just an awesome TNT title match, two guys going at it. And, I'm surprised he pulled off, what, four or five power bombs on him?
At least four power bombs.
Four power bombs. Wardlow's just on another level right now. I did see some stuff on social media that when it pertains to him and FTR, they were riding such a hot streak that it seems like the company kind of cooled them off a little bit.
Yo, Tony, just book them, man. They still work for you.
So which is just asinine, because both those Wardlow and FTR had such skyrocketing type rises. So it's good to see them, you know, them doing something with Wardlow.
And then after the match, the embassy came out beating up on Wardlow. Joe comes out, and then of course FTR comes out. Huge reaction, huge pop.
What a pop! One of the probably the loudest pop of the night, I would say.
Outside of the Acclaim.
Right. Listen. The fan, and then the FTR chants right after that. This team is over. I hope Tony's listening. They're still hired. Put them on the show. Book them. They should get all the title belts.
Look, they'll be on Battle of the Belts 4. If you're up past 11 watching Battle of the Belts 4 taking on I forget the tag team from the embassy, but they're going to put the ROH tag team titles on the line.
Right.
On Friday.
Hey, they're on the show.
Hey, at least they're on a show. They're defending the titles, the best tag team. Look, they just beat Aussie Open over in New Japan, overseas in England. So, I mean, look, they're having banger matches everywhere they go. They're going to be, I think, next week, they're going to be in Hicksville, New York with Bret Hart.
Yeah, yep, that's right. I wish I was going to be. I don't know if I'm, I don't think I'm going to be around for that. I might be up in Salem, but, that's going to be awesome. And I just want to say, Tony, you better put these guys on the card at Full Gear, man. We're going to be there in Newark. Like, we need FTR on the card so the crowd can go crazy. And
not just in a six-man.
No, we want a tag team match with FTR at Full Gear in Jersey. These guys are over in the East Coast here,
like,
man.
Give me FTR Motor City Machine Guns straight.
Right. Yeah, dude, I'm down. Whatever, just put them on the card. We need them. Newark, New Jersey, FTR needs to be on the
call. That's FTR country. Just remember that.
It is. It really is. So you got to put them on there, man.
But, you know, like the article was saying, the booking and everything. Look, Wardlow's the TNT champ. We got, I want to say, spoiled with Cody with all these open challenges every week. Different. The TNT champion needs to be on TBS. Like, every week. If it's not Dynamite, it's Rampage. That title needs to be on television.
Yeah, either one of the shows every single week. I 100% agree. Until you, and even if it's not a long-term story for a guy like Wardlow, defend the title every week, then you can find, you know, a good opponent that you can have a nice story with, build some stuff. If you don't perform, just have him on the mat, have a match every week right here. Doesn't have a build, just have a match every week.
Look. I know he's not Cody. He's not going to wrestle guys like Ricky Starks and Jay Lethal or guys like that every week for the TNT title. I know it's not going to happen. But just put the guy on television. Put the title on TV.
Right, and sometimes you actually get some good matches when you have guys wrestle that have different styles. Like, have put him in somebody you wouldn't expect him to be in there with, a high flyer or something, and see how he handles that. You got to have some different things. That's how you get build Wardlow back up. I mean, not that he needs the building up, but you cooled him off for a little bit, heat him back up.
Same with FTR. Heat him back up. Just put him on a show every week.
That's it.
I love it. I love it. Nationally, the Acclaimed, like we said, also over is National Scissoring Day.
I should have brought a scissor with me somewhere.
Yo, what are scissors? Yo, Daddy Ass is really over, Billy Gunn.
I love that these guys got this catchphrase over. It's the top-selling T-shirt. You know, it's just hilarious to me. There was a sign in the crowd, DX scissoring with the Acclaimed. I mean, this is great to see, man. These guys, like we've been saying it, homegrown dudes from day one, getting the opportunity. They ran with it. And, you know, the company, you know, the fans are behind them. It's awesome to see.
It was fun. It was exciting. It was entertaining. It's just, you know, Caster, Bowens, Billy Gunn, you know, just taking shots, having fun. Good, entertaining segment.
Yeah, just good fun. Caster talking about his dad, former football player, won the Super Bowl with the Washington Redskins. You know, shouting it out because they were in D.C. tonight. That was cool. You know, I love, you know, Billy Gunn gave him the gold key to the city because he went
with scissors. Yeah, I don't run with scissors.
You know, we all know the DX 25-year anniversary is coming up this week. Somebody was asking me, oh, you think Billy Gunn will be there because he was at the Hall of Fame? I'm like, nah, man. Billy Gunn's busy with the Acclaimed, dude. Like, he ain't showing up to be on the DX 25 anniversary.
He don't need a payday from Vince anymore.
I mean, I know he showed up for the Hall of Fame while he was still working with AEW, but this was just good, clean fun. I like that they were on the podium doing all this stuff. This was great stuff, man.
Yeah, it was great. The after stuff with Swerve and Mark Sterling and all that stuff, didn't really need it, kind of dragged the segment along.
Right.
But Billy Gunn against Swerve next week. All right, I guess. Yo, sneaky Swerve. He's a heel now, so.
Rock beats Scissor every time. And
paper covers Rock.
Right. And AEW now stands for Acclaimed Every Wednesday.
You know what? Put them on a show.
Right. So, great to see these guys just getting a title run here. And, you know, hopefully FTR just ends their run eventually.
Absolutely. I'd like to see that happen. As much as it would be bad for the Acclaim, I want FTR to win the titles.
They have to.
Great match between they had the women's match, trios women's match. Was it Willow Nightingale and Toni Storm and Athena taking on your girl Jamie Hayter.
Amanda says it's Yoda's 5-month birthday.
Yeah, because this balloon's been going for 5 months.
I can't believe that balloon's still going, man.
Dude, this is my birthday balloon. It's still going.
Yoda's the new mascot for the Nightcap Recap.
Dude.
The Yoda balloon.
Amanda knows how to do birthdays and parties and celebrations, and she gets the best balloons. So
that's it right there.
That's it right there. it was Jamie Hayter. It was, I guess...
Jamie Hayter, wow, we forgot. See, this is what's bad about the women's division. We don't even know, dude.
No, I know who it was. It was Jamie Hayter and
Serena Deeb.
Serena Deeb and I thought whatchamacallit? Penelope, okay.
Yeah. Against Tony
Willow, Athena and
Toni Storm.
Toni Storm with Saraya in the
corner. Yep.
And Britt Baker was in their corner.
Right. And, you know, your standard women's match, you know, women's trios match, we really don't get a lot of those. But,
Willow Nightingale picking up the big victory during the match was fun. It was good. Saraya was back. Britt Baker, of course, you know, taking the spotlight from everybody else after the match because it was supposed to be Willow's time. But she gets involved. And hey. Saraya gives her a beating, and it looks like Saraya's actually going to be wrestling.
Yeah, that's what it looks like from, you know, they announced it. And, how about Jamie Hayter getting some cheers too, right? The Hayter chance?
Jamie Hayter's over. Probably should have won the title at All Out. I'm not going to lie. Should have won or at least turned on Britt Baker. But when she does, it's going to be big.
Oh, it's going to be good when it happens. But, hey, man, I'm excited to see Saraya get in the ring. It's been a long time. I don't know how many years. It's been years. Yes. So, you know, she's another one, same case as, like, you know, everybody with those neck injuries, Edge, Austin, like, all the, so it'll be good to see her get back in there. And, you know, let's just hope she stays safe.
Absolutely. You got to stay safe. Like Danielson, you got to stay safe. Don't do stupid moves in the ring.
Right.
But good to have her back. Brings the division legitimate. Let's see if we can get more matches on the cards for both of Rampage and Dynamite. Hangman Page, Roosh, good stuff. Andrade went home. They really didn't mention him too much.
No.
Tonight. But I like Roosh. Good match with the Hangman. Fun match. Roosh looked good, strong, even in a loss. Hangman with the buckshot lariat. All leading to Tuesday Night Dynamite. We will relive the war, the Wednesday Night Wars on Tuesday for one night only.
Yep.
AEW Dynamite in Cincinnati when Jon Moxley takes on Hangman Page for the AEW World title. 3 years these guys have been just circling. We've had sprinkles in the ladder match and battle royals, little things here and there.
Yeah.
We're finally going to get this match.
I'm loving it. I love the backstory on that from Moxley. 3 years that, you know, it's been building up to this moment. And this is a big one, man. Two guys, Moxley's a three-time champ. Hangman's a former champ. Two of the top guys in the company. So I'm excited for that one. I can't wait to see how that match transpires. And they're in Moxley's hometown, Cincinnati.
He's going over. He's going to win.
Obviously, he's going to go over. Yep.
But it's going to be a good match.
It will
be. Good to see Hangman in the title picture, get the win. We finally get this, like, storyline concluding pretty, because they probably were just going to meet in a tournament somewhere.
Right. Or
down the road, you know, wherever they were going to meet, there were some issues. Moxley had some issues, or Hangman wasn't around. Just things just didn't work. We're finally going to have this match. I like what Moxley said to him after Hangman wanted to go tonight. He's like, kid, don't do it.
Yeah, keep your mouth shut.
Keep your mouth shut.
Right.
So that was good. Fill time at Luchasaurus. It's all right.
Such a waste.
Just a waste. Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus next week, Dynamite Toronto. All right.
Yeah.
Moving on, main event. Danielson and Garcia taking on El Sex Gods, Jericho, and Sammy Guevara. Again, like I said off the top, not really good look to have Guevara here in the main event, considering what happened backstage. But besides that, Guevara does look good, but the crowd gives it to him that says, even on good moves, he tells him that he still sucks.
I love it.
It's great.
The crowd just
hates Sammy Guevara.
Yeah.
He's actually come out on, like, social media and said stuff about the fans, similar to what we were saying about what they did to Cody.
I mean, that's his own doing. You know, he's kind of got some, like, really bad heat on him right now. He's got the type of heat that people just don't like him. You know,
yeah.
He did it to himself because it's just his attitude. He rubs a lot of people the wrong way.
It's not like they – it's different when it was with Cody. For some reason, people just turned on Cody for no reason.
Right, yeah. That was just because they were trying to be – it was like the cool thing to do for no
reason. Yeah, I mean, I didn't get it. I really didn't get it.
I never got it either. With Sammy, he's really done it to himself. I mean, he kind of deserves what he's getting.
Exactly. I mean, well, most people hate him because – well, hey, because of what happened with his former fiance and
Conte.
I think that's like a big reason why people hate him.
Yeah, because they did that on television. He proposed to his former fiance. Like, they did that whole thing.
Right.
A bad look.
It's a real bad look.
Yeah. So,
but the match was good. I thought Garcia looked strong. There's still some conflict with him and Jericho. I got to imagine those two are going to wrestle.
It's going to come to a head for sure.
For the ROH title, maybe. Maybe Garcia can bring Honor back to Ring of Honor, because since Jericho's won the title, it's all about being dishonor, cheating, no respect for ROH, the reign of Jericho, the ring of Jericho. And again, he cheats tonight. I want to call it the Brett spot from WrestleMania 9, but it was really close to the Brett WrestleMania 9 spot with Fuji
right. And
Yoko in the sharpshooter, because, well, as we know, Brett said that Yoko called for the finish early. And that's why Fuji was struggling to get the salt out.
You're right, exactly. You're absolutely right about that. I forgot about that.
But Jericho and Sammy get the victory. They go over, and next week will be Brian Danielson taking on Chris Jericho for the ROH Championship in Toronto.
Toronto, Canada, man. Jericho.
Be good dynamite.
I love that he's the Ring of Jericho, and he's
the Ocho.
The Ocho, the Ring of Jericho.
This guy reinvents himself weekly.
Every single week, you gotta love it. So he's doing some of his best work. I love it.
That's great.
Good show, though. Good show tonight.
Very good show. Very entertaining show. A lot of good wrestling. 15 minutes over. That's why we're a little late.
Yeah.
They had the three-year anniversary of Dynamite. WWE, all I know is hopefully Friday night, your boy L.A. Knight returns.
He's back, baby.
That's it.
You got Extreme Rules on, I believe, Saturday night.
Yeah, Philly.
Right. Our buddy Drew, his brother, big WWE fan, he's going to be in the house. Lives in the Philly area.
Oh, Drew's not going?
Drew's not going. He's not able to go, but his brother is. He said that, you know, he's excited for it. He's liking all the different stipulation matches.
Well, it's actually an Extreme Rules pay-per-view.
Yeah, he said it's actually the first time we're actually getting a card where Extreme Rules is living up to the billing here, where every match is going to be, you know, something, some kind of stipulation. They're getting people involved. Like Daniel Cormier is going to be the referee of this Fight Pit match.
Okay, so I have a thing for you.
Yeah.
Okay. When I had the segment on with Seth Rollins, when he said he called himself the world's most dangerous man.
Oh, yeah.
That perfect opportunity for Ken Shamrock to come back.
I agree, and I think Lacey might have told me the same thing, too. He said, why would you not get Ken Shamrock for this? I mean, this is the perfect – you're right. It's the perfect opportunity to get Kenny Shamrock, you know, involved in here. Speaking of Seth Rollins, what do you think about his comments this week? He made a couple comments. He was on some couple interviews. Number one was the Bray Wyatt stuff. I don't know if you saw. He said that working with the Bray Wyatt character was very difficult for a lot of people because you came out of it kind of like not being the same. Like, obviously, the Rollins character kind of got damaged after that whole Hell in a Cell with the Fiend. He says, you know, look at a lot of guys that he wrestled, you know, besides, I guess, you know, Daniel Bryan had a good feud with him. He just basically said it was tough to work a feud with Wyatt because of the way that they built up that character. It was hard to make that character lose. So, but
Seth's not a good baby face.
Right. He did say he'd love to work with him again, you know, because Wyatt can reinvent himself or whatever. But you're right. I mean, Seth, for all the good stuff he's done as a face, he's naturally better in this role that he's doing right now.
I mean, I think he can lose the Joker laugh because it's getting kind of annoying.
Yeah.
But I think I like it, him and Riddle, Fight Pit. I'm surprised like Thatcher wasn't like around, like come, like he didn't bring Thatcher into this for some reason.
Yeah, that was the NXT Fight Pit that they had or whatever.
Yeah. So Daniel Cormier, rumor is Brock may show up.
Oh, again? Brock's only scheduled for, I think he's advertised for some of the bigger pay-per-views.
Well, they want to set up Cormier and Brock at Crown Jewel.
Is that what they want to do? I didn't even know that they were going to do that.
Well, it's rumored. I don't know if it's going to happen.
Cormier's long been a guy, a big wrestling fan, so it's cool that he's getting involved. And then Rob also said that he feels like he should be the guy, you know, as opposed to Roman, or like he's never felt like they put him in that role.
All right, so... After seeing this, I'm going to make a comparison. Some people may not like it. You'll get it. Some people may not like it when they hear this. I said it before. I'll say it again. Seth Rollins is this company's version of Bret Hart. Could put on a great match with anybody.
Right.
Bret was never appreciated. He would carry a belt and then drop it. He never got a long reign. They never said he was the guy, but guess what? They always went back to him to be a champion.
Yeah.
Do the same thing with Seth.
Always
go back to him.
You know what? That's a great comparison. And it's been a while since he's had a title, and I think he'll have one again eventually. It's just that, you know what? Roman's just on another level right now. He's definitely stepped his game up. He really is in God mode. You know, he's kind of untouchable with what he's doing right now, and they're running with it because that was their plan all along, for Roman to be the guy. It's just that early on in the Shield days, Seth was kind of outshining everybody. You know, you could see that he was going to be – and he did – Seth had his run as the man. I mean, we all know when he was in the Authority, he had that long title reign before he had the knee injury. You know, they put the money in the bank on him because they wanted him to be the guy. And early on, nobody was buying the Roman Reigns character. You know, they were forcing it down our throats. So for a time, Rollins was, you could say, was the man. Had great feuds with Cena, went over Cena. So it's just right now, it's Roman's time. And Seth is just that constant workhorse, like you said. Put the belt on him, put him in a feud with anybody. This guy lost 3 matches in a row to Cody and still came out looking better than he was before. So
right, I mean, he can lose.
He could lose anything.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. He can lose and he still look good. Brett would lose, he'd still look good. It didn't matter.
Right.
And Seth is just one of those guys, and him and Riddle are having a great feud right now.
Yeah, and props to what's going on with the Sami Zayn stuff. I watched the segment. I don't really watch SmackDown. I don't watch the shows that often. I just don't have the time. But I saw the segment with the honorary Oos. You know, Roman's like, take that shirt off. Why are you wearing a Bloodline shirt? We got something else for you. Jey Uso was pissed off. I love that they're keeping that going where Jey Uso is, you know, doesn't like Sammy. You got the underlying tension.
Doesn't trust him. Yeah. Doesn't like him.
You got the underlying tension with Jey and Roman because of the whole, you know, back when they were feuding, you know, at the early stages of the Bloodline. So they got everything going on there. So when the eventual Sami Zayn leaving the group happens, it's going to be great. When he rejoins KO, whenever that happens, kind of a slow burn. They're doing some good stuff, so.
Yeah, but because with War Games coming up, I mean, you got to imagine the Bloodline against somebody.
Yeah, it's going to be the Bloodline against somebody for sure, and it'll be good, man. Listen, Trips has done good things since he took over, you know, and he continues to do so, and eventually, you know, we'll get Cody back here, you know, and we'll see what they'll build, what the build to WrestleMania is going to be.
Well, they're hoping Dwayne can
yeah.
That match in Los Angeles.
Is Dwayne going to take some time off finally? We'll see.
I mean, Dwayne should take some time off so he can get in ring shape and take some bumps.
Yeah, so he doesn't get hurt again like he did last time.
Yeah, he needs to take some bumps and train. We'll see if Dwayne's going to show up.
I mean, he's what, 50 now? He just turned 50?
I mean, Flair's still taking bumps at his age, so.
Yeah, that's Flair.
Well, Jimmy, what is it, Ricky Steamboat down in North Carolina is going to have his quote-unquote last match with the FTR.
Oh, that's happening?
Yeah.
And that's Steamboat's last match?
Steamboat teams or retirement match, whatever he wants to call it. He wants to have a comeback, you know, after his Jericho stuff. Steamboat and FTR taking on, like, Jay Lethal and somebody? Or Rock and Roller?
Yo, Steamboat had a really good last match with Jericho. We should leave it off at that.
Yeah, walk away. That was great.
That was really good.
For what was he at that time? Like 40 something? No.
Yeah, it was 2009. I want to say, right?
Yeah, that was a great match.
He's pretty much the age of like some of the guys nowadays. I mean, AJ Styles is in his mid 40s, right? I mean, some of these guys are in their 40s now, still wrestling. So. It's funny, when we were looking back on it then, we thought these guys were so old, but they were actually just like in their late 30s, early 40s.
Right. I mean, I think Steamboat at that time against Jericho could probably – Steamboat could have kept going if he wanted.
I think he could have kept going. Speaking of, Tales from the Territories was tonight. I got to watch like a little bit of it before All Elite Wrestling. It's pretty good. Some good stories. It's like, you know, Jeff Jarrett, Jerry Lawler, Jerry Jarrett.
Oh, yeah. I think there was the Memphis Territories this week, right?
Yeah, they covered some stories from Memphis. Jimmy Hart's in there, Dutch Mantel. It's going to be, if you're an old school wrestling fan, definitely check it out.
Oh, well, also, I think Vice is doing the Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
Well.
Sent me that, which I didn't know they were doing.
Yeah, Vice doing, I don't know if they're going to call it Dark Side of the Ring or whatever, but they're doing a Vince McMahon doc. I guess the Netflix thing is back on now. They're going to do some things for Vince, so.
So that most likely Vince is not involved with any of these projects.
No, because they're going to touch on a scandal, so Vince can't talk about it.
Right. And I did read some rumor that they want to do Vince for the Hall of Fame next year, so we'll see.
Don't do it, man. Don't do it.
So we'll see about that.
This has been the Full Press Wrestling Podcast with myself, Jim Berenger, along with my friend Ted.